Right now, like as you listen to this on July 6th, 2026, there are literally millions of dollars vanishing from highly secure crypto wallets.
Yeah, and there are absolutely no alarms going off.
Right. No alarms. There are no phishing links being clicked, no malicious downloads, no physical break-ins at all.
None of that. It's completely silent.
It really is. We are looking at a digital crime scene that is completely invisible, and it is driven, quite frankly, entirely by math.
Just math, which is terrifying.
Exactly. So a security firm called CoinSpec just dropped this massive disclosure report on a vulnerability they've dubbed Ill Bloom. And they confirmed that over $5 million has already been drained.
And I mean, we have to point out that that 5 million is just the confirmed on-chain damage that we can actually see today.
Just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, absolutely. The reality of Ill Bloom is far more severe because this flaw driving the heist, it didn't just appear overnight.
Right, it's been around.
Yeah, this vulnerability has existed silently for years. It's basically been sitting there like a ticking time bomb inside thousands of established wallets. And it's entirely undermining the core mathematical trust that, the whole crypto ecosystem relies on.
Which is wild. So our mission for this deep dive is to really tear into this massive stack of fresh research. We've got CoinSpec's disclosure, we've got live on-chain forensic data, and a really brilliant technical lab test from the Tekken editorial team.
That lab test is incredible, by the way. We'll get into that.
Oh, we definitely will. We are going to extract the essential mechanics of this crisis so you, the listener, can understand exactly how these wallets are being drained across multiple blockchains.
And most importantly, give you the shortcut to securing your own assets before the hackers can get to them.
Exactly. So to understand how millions of dollars can just, evaporate without a single user error, we really have to look past the blockchain itself, right?
Yeah, you have to look at the fundamental lock protecting those assets in the first place.
Right, the root of it.
Exactly. For anyone holding crypto, you are likely pretty intimately familiar with the BIP 39 standard.
Okay, let's unpack this. That's the protocol introduced back in what, 2013?
Yeah, 2013.
Right, that gives us the standard recovery phrase. So instead of forcing users to memorize a massive, just impossible string of alphanumeric code, BIP 39 mathematically converts a raw 128-bit or 256-bit number into a human-readable list of 12 or 24 words.
Right. And what's fascinating here is that the mathematical conversion itself from numbers to words is
It
flawless.
works perfectly.
It does. The vulnerability of Ill Bloom has absolutely nothing to do with the dictionary of words or how they're translated.
Okay.
The entire security model of a 256-bit key rests on just a single, incredibly fragile
Which
premise,
is what?
that the initial number generated by your wallet software is truly completely random.
Oh, okay.
That number needs to be pulled from a space of mathematical possibilities that is so unfathomably vast. I mean, we're talking 2 to the power of 256 possible states.
Which is a number so big the human brain can't even really comprehend it.
Exactly. It's so big that no supercomputer in existence could ever guess it.
But if the math converting the numbers to words is ironclad, like you said, where is the lock actually breaking?
Well, it breaks at the source. Because computers are inherently deterministic machines, you know?
Right, they follow instructions.
Exactly. They follow instructions, so they actually struggle to generate true randomness. They have to rely on random number generators or RNGs to sort of simulate it by gathering external data.
Which we call entropy in the tech world.
Right, entropy. And Ill Bloom is essentially the catastrophic result of software wallets using weak random number generators.
So the entropy was bad.
Yes. When developers built wallets inside constrained environments, so like an older web browser or maybe a low-power embedded IoT device, those systems simply didn't have enough computational resources or ambient data to pull off true randomness.
So instead of drawing that master key from an infinite universe of possibilities, the software was basically drawing from a heavily limited, highly constrained pool. I like to think of it this way. If a truly random 256-bit seed phrase is like hiding a tiny treasure chest on a random grain of sand anywhere on planet Earth, right?
That's a good way to picture it.
A weak RNG is like telling the thief, you hid the chest on a grain of sand, sure, but specifically inside the wooden sandbox in your backyard.
Yeah, that's spot on. The cryptography itself didn't fail. The blockchain networks are operating exactly as intended.
The randomness failed.
The randomness failed. You can employ the most impenetrable, military-grade encryption to protect your private key, but it is utterly useless if the random number used to generate that key was drawn from that tiny backyard sandbox.
Wow. But knowing this sandbox is small is one thing.
Yeah.
How are these attackers actually sifting through that sand to extract the funds so rapidly? I mean, it's still a lot of sand.
They utilize a technique called a smart brute force attack.
Smart brute force, okay.
Right. In a traditional brute force scenario, an attacker simply guesses every conceivable password combination.
Which, for 256-bit, would take forever.
Oh, trying every possible 256-bit combination is mathematically impossible. It would take longer than the lifespan of the universe.
Right.
But the Illbloom attackers, they aren't guessing randomly. They reverse engineer the flaw.
They know how the RNG was broken.
Exactly. They map out exactly how these weak random number generators operate. And they create a master list of all the possible seed phrases generated by those specific flawed software environments.
So they narrow that impossible universe down to a highly searchable subset.
Precisely. They shrink the universe.
And the Tekken editorial team actually proved just how searchable this subset is in their security lab.
Yeah, this part of the report is wild.
I really want to dig into the mechanics of their test because it perfectly illustrates the scale of the threat here.
Mm-hmm.
So to see how exploitable this flaw is in the real world, the Tekken lab deliberately created a vulnerable wallet.
Right.
They simulated a weak RNG that only utilized 2 to the power of 48 possible states.
Which, by the way, perfectly mimics the low entropy you'd find in some of those older JavaScript browser extensions or those embedded smart devices we talked about.
Right. And 2 to the power of 48, I mean, that sounds like a massive number to a human being.
It does.
But in modern computing terms, that is a terrifyingly small parameter.
Oh, absolutely.
So they loaded a bit of Ethereum into this test wallet, and they played the role of the attacker. But, and this is the crazy part, they didn't rent out some massive multi-million dollar government supercomputer.
No, they didn't need to.
They used an average, off-the-shelf gaming GPU, like an NVIDIA RTX 4070.
Just a standard graphics card you can buy at a normal electronics store.
Exactly. And by leveraging the parallel processing power of that standard graphics card, which, you know, is normally built to render thousands of pixels simultaneously for video games, they were able to test 500,000 seed phrases every single second.
500,000 a second. And the result. They successfully reconstructed the exact 12-word recovery phrase and gained full control of the wallet in just 18 hours.
18 hours. On a consumer graphics card.
Right. And think about this. If an attacker scales that up with a stronger GPU cluster or, you know, simply rents cloud computing power for a few dollars an hour, that 18-hour window drops to mere minutes.
Okay, I have to pause and really look at the real-world application of this. Wait, so there's no phishing involved?
None at all.
No tricking the user into clicking a bad link or downloading malware? You're telling me that a highly security-conscious user who did everything flawlessly, who generated their wallet, wrote the phrase down on paper, sealed it in a fireproof safe, and literally never once typed it into a digital device could still be robbed right now just because of pure math.
That is the most insidious part of Illbloom.
Yes.
The attacker never interacts with your machine.
That's terrifying.
It is. They simply monitor public blockchain explorers.
Huh.
They scan the public ledger for wallet addresses holding significant value.
Just looking at the public data.
Exactly. And once they spot a lucrative target, they run their smart brute force algorithm on their own hardware entirely offline miles away. If that high-value wallet was originally generated years ago using a weak RNG, the attacker just mathematically reconstructs the keys from afar. No user interaction required.
And because this vulnerability is mathematical and, you know, inherently tied to the BIP39 generation standard itself, it's not isolated to a single network's code.
Right. It's a structural issue.
The attackers basically have a universal skeleton key now.
The flaw exists upstream of the blockchains themselves, so it affects everything downstream.
Right. Here's where it gets really interesting. If you used a weak software wallet to create your keys, it doesn't matter if you move to a highly secure blockchain later on.
No, it doesn't.
It's like using a cheap, easily copied padlock on the front door of a high-tech fortress.
That's exactly what it is.
And if you look at the on-chain data from May to July, you can actually watch the attackers testing this key on bigger and bigger doors across entirely different neighborhoods.
Yeah, the scope is massive.
The CoinSpec report confirms active draining across 6 major networks. Bitcoin is obviously a prime target, given its sheer size and value.
Naturally.
But we're also seeing massive hits on Ethereum.
Yeah, and Ethereum is actually sustaining the highest financial damage right now.
Because of DeFi.
Exactly. Because of the concentration of capital in decentralized finance or DeFi. You know, these liquidity pools and automated market makers, they hold massive sums of crypto. And they're often tied to older wallets that manage those smart contracts.
That makes sense. The attackers are also hitting Solana, specifically targeting web and mobile-based wallets. And they are aggressively targeting Polygon bridges.
The bridges are particularly lucrative targets.
Why is that?
Well, these are the digital transit hubs, basically, where users lock up assets on one blockchain to mint equivalent tokens on another.
Oh, so all that locked crypto is just sitting there.
Right. Enormous amounts of crypto sit vulnerable in those transit hubs, making them extremely high-priority targets for anyone with the skeleton key.
And we're also seeing massive amounts of USDT stablecoins drained on the Tron network, plus even rootstock smart contract wallets being compromised.
They're really casting a wide net.
They are. The timeline of these attacks reveals a deeply methodical strategy.
Yeah, let's walk through that timeline.
Okay, so the first confirmed theft occurred on May 27, 2026. A vulnerable Ethereum wallet was drained of $120,000 in exactly 10 minutes.
And then that May 27th event in cybersecurity, we view that as a proof of concept in the wild.
Just a test run.
Exactly. They were testing the reverse engineering algorithm on a live target just to ensure the math held up outside of their own lab environment.
Well, it clearly worked because less than a week later, on June 2, the first major wave hit.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Over 50 Bitcoin and Solana wallets were swept simultaneously. Then on June 15, we see the largest single theft so far. An $850,000 corporate USDT wallet drained on the Tron network.
And moving to Tron for a target that large is a highly calculated move on their part.
Because of the speed.
Exactly. Tron offers incredibly fast settlement times and very low transaction fees, which is ideal for rapidly moving massive sums of stablecoins out of a corporate treasury before the victims even realize they've been compromised.
They're gone before you even get an alert.
Yep.
By June 25, the attacks expand to those Polygon bridges and rootstock. And that brings us to today, July 6, when CoinSpect finally published their disclosure report to the broader public.
Right. And tracking their movements across these networks reveals a really crucial tactical detail about how these hackers operate.
What's that?
They are operating in parallel. They're scanning all six networks simultaneously, and they're triaging their target.
Like ranking them by value.
Precisely. They are intentionally hunting the absolute highest value assets first.
Okay.
So if you hold a smaller balance in a vulnerable wallet and you haven't been hit yet, you haven't been spared by luck.
Oh, yeah.
You are simply sitting further down in the queue, waiting to be drained as their algorithms just mathematically work through the list.
Okay, wait. If CoinSpect knows the flaw and they know the hackers are actively working down a hit list,
yeah,
didn't their disclosure report today just act as blood in the water? Like, if thousands of wallets are sitting ducks, why hasn't CoinSpect published the exact brand names of the vulnerable software? Isn't keeping users in the dark actually worse? I mean, haven't they just accelerated the robberies by telling the world this exists?
This raises an important question, and it's the classic cybersecurity dilemma. It creates a brutal paradox.
Right.
On one hand, you are obligated to disclose the vulnerability so defensive teams and users can actually protect themselves. But in publishing the mechanics of IllBloom, CoinSpect inevitably signals every other threat actor on the dark web.
So now everyone knows how to do it.
Exactly. The disclosure arms a new wave of attackers who will rush in to claim a piece of the remaining vulnerable wallets before users have time to migrate. So yes, today is significantly more dangerous than yesterday.
But why not name the specific wallets?
Because releasing a specific brand list right now would essentially hand the attackers a highly detailed treasure map.
Oh, I see.
If CoinSpec names the specific, lesser-known open-source wallets before those developers can issue patches or build secure migration tools, it instantly directs every hacker on Earth to focus entirely on those exact user bases.
It's basically pointing a giant neon sign at them.
Exactly. It triggers a massive bank run. But a bank run where the robbers are perfectly positioned at all the exit doors, the researchers have to keep the specific software names quiet just to buy users a small window to quietly migrate away.
Which means, for the listener, with hackers actively working their way down this list across six blockchains, you cannot wait around for an official list of banned apps.
No, absolutely not.
The immediate question becomes, are you on their list? We have to look at the vulnerability indicators.
Right. Not every crypto wallet is at risk here, but the red flags are highly specific. The most prominent indicator is the age of your wallet.
Okay, how old are we talking?
Any wallet generated older than 2 to 3 years, and specifically anything created pre-2018, carries a significantly higher risk.
Because of the older tech?
Yes. The underlying software architecture of that era often just lacked robust entropy collection.
The research also flags wallets generated in old JavaScript environments. We're talking about early stage open source tools that haven't been actively maintained or updated.
Right, or wallets spun up on low power embedded IoT devices. If your seed phrase originates from an environment with limited computing power, you are definitely in the high-risk category.
But there is some good news. We do have absolute clarity on who is completely shielded from ill bloom.
Yes, we do.
Hardware wallets, so devices like a Ledger or a Trezor, they are immune.
Completely safe. And the reason why is because they don't rely on a web browser's math to generate the initial number.
They do it physically, right?
Exactly. They utilize dedicated physical hardware RNG chips embedded directly on the device itself. These chips generate true entropy by measuring physical phenomena.
Like what?
Like thermal noise inside the chip, rather than relying on a predictable deterministic software algorithm.
That's super cool. And major centralized exchanges like Binance or Coinbase, they're also secure, right?
Yes, they are safe because they utilize enterprise-grade custodial infrastructure. They employ highly secure, verified systems to generate and manage their keys.
And what about people using modern software wallets?
The newer, fully updated versions of major wallets like MetaMask are also secure. They've transitioned to modern web crypto APIs, which are standardized protocols that pull strong, verified randomness straight from your computer's operating system.
Okay, so if you are in that safe group, you can breathe a little.
Oh.
But if there is any doubt in your mind about the digital environment where your seed phrase was originally born, you have to execute the defense playbook immediately.
Yeah, the actionable steps here are very rigid.
So what do people need to do right now?
If you suspect your wallet was generated in a weak environment, you must create a brand new wallet using fully updated modern software, or ideally, a hardware wallet, and you must transfer your assets to that new address immediately.
That does mean paying the transaction fees, though.
Unfortunately, yes.
Depending on the network, you know, you might be eating a $1 fee on Solana, or maybe a $50 gas fee on Ethereum if the network is super congested today.
True. But paying a minor toll to move your funds is infinitely better than waking up to a zero balance tomorrow.
Exactly. Now, I did see that for users with highly technical backgrounds, the community has provided local, open source entropy checking tools.
Yes, they have.
Tools that can mathematically analyze your phrase to determine if it was born from a weak RNG.
Oh.
But the source material comes with a severe, critical warning about these.
It cannot be stressed enough. If you use those tools, you must run them completely offline, locally on your own machine.
Right.
Never, under any circumstances, type your 12 or 24-word recovery phrase into a website or an online tool that claims to check if you're vulnerable to ill bloom.
That is just a phishing scam waiting to happen.
It is a guaranteed way to lose your funds. Do not do it online.
And if you are managing corporate funds or business assets, the research highly recommends migrating to a multi-signature wallet like a Gnosis Safe or Casa.
That's a great layer of defense.
Because in a multi-sig setup, even if one underlying key is compromised by something like ill bloom, the attacker still cannot move the funds without the other independent signatures.
Layering defenses is vital right now because, you know, this is not an isolated, unprecedented anomaly.
No, it's happened before.
Exactly. In November 2023, the industry faced a nearly identical vulnerability called Randstorm, which affected older Bitcoin JS wallets generated between 2011 and 2015.
So we are basically looking at a recurring historical pattern here. Every few years, a new batch of older wallets is discovered to have relied on insecure randomness.
Which is why taking action is so important.
So let's clarify the mechanics of the migration itself for the listener, because I think there's a common misconception here.
Well, there definitely is.
If someone listening has an old 12-word recovery phrase from, say, 2017, they might think the logical solution is to go buy a brand new ultra-secure hardware wallet, type their old 12 words into that new device, and assume they are now magically protected by hardware-level security. Can they just do that?
No. Doing that provides absolutely zero protection.
Wow. Zero.
None. The original randomness is forever tainted. If the foundation is rotten, building a new house on top of it won't help.
Oh.
Transferring a compromised seed phrase to a new hardware wallet is literally like changing the physical locks on your front door, but intentionally giving the neighborhood burglar a copy of the new key.
That's a brutal analogy, but it makes total sense.
The shiny new hardware protects you against future threats, sure, but the underlying password is already mathematically known to the attackers.
Right.
You must generate a completely new phrase in a secure environment and execute an actual on-chain transaction to physically send the funds from the old address to the new address.
The source text includes this really powerful quote from crypto author Andreas Antonopoulos that perfectly captures the underlying friction of this entire crisis.
Yeah, it's a great quote.
He states, "Crypto security shouldn't require a PhD in cryptography. We must build systems that are secure by default, not ask users to become security experts."
He is pinpointing the foundational structural flaw of the entire self-custody industry right there.
The burden of responsibility.
Exactly. I mean, think about traditional finance. If your bank's internal servers harbor a technical vulnerability and your account is drained, the institution absorbs the liability.
Right. You get your money back.
You are made whole by FDIC insurance or the bank's own capital. But cryptocurrency pushes absolute unforgiving responsibility onto the end user.
Which is heavy.
It is. If some anonymous developer used a weak line of code to generate your wallet 5 years ago, you lose everything, and there is absolutely no customer service hotline you can call to reverse the transaction.
So to wrap up this deep dive, the vital takeaway for you, the listener, is that Il Bloom is not a failure of Bitcoin or Ethereum or the cryptographic algorithms themselves.
Right.
It is a critical failure in the underlying math used by specific older software to generate recovery phrases. So audit your wallet's age today. If you generated your seed phrase years ago on a web browser, a low-power device, or some obscure app, just assume it is vulnerable.
Don't take the risk.
Exactly. Pay the network fee, generate a brand new phrase in a modern, secure environment, and move your assets immediately.
And, you know, as you audit your crypto holdings today, there is a much larger, frankly, shilling implication buried in the FAQs of this research that really demands our attention.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we have just spent this entire deep dive dissecting a catastrophic financial failure stemming entirely from a computer's inability to generate a truly random number, right? Mm. But cryptocurrency is just one highly visible application of cryptography.
Oh, man. The math doesn't just protect money, does it?
No, it doesn't. What other critical systems in our daily lives rely on that exact same fragile digital randomness?
Wow.
I mean, think about the encryption securing hospital medical records, or the infrastructure protecting the national power grid, or even classified global communications. They all require true entropy to function securely.
So the vault doors of the crypto world have been blown wide open without making a single sound. It really makes you wonder, what happens to the rest of our digital world when its invisible mathematical locks are also found to be blooming with flaws?
It is a silent threat we can no longer afford to ignore.